Anthony Dasher, the managing editor of UGASports.com, part of the Rivals.com network. You can follow Anthony on Twitter at Anthony Dasher, the number one. And we're going to spend some time talking about the best team in college football, the Georgia Bulldogs. And Anthony, thanks so much for your time. I appreciate it. Clearly the best team in college football, the Georgia Bulldogs at 10-0. They've already finished SEC play. I believe they clinched the SEC East the day before Halloween when they took Florida apart in Jacksonville. Last week they beat Tennessee handily, 41-17. Maybe a little bit of a slow start, but they end up winning by four touchdowns. What's your overview of the Dogs, Anthony? Hard to find much wrong to this point.
So far, that is definitely correct. I mean, of course, the defense has been the story this year with this team. The front seven in particular has just been dominant. I mean, it really, really has, and that's what's got Georgia at the point what's at right now. You know, that being said, I do think because the defense has been so strong, the offense has been a little bit under the radar. I mean, this is still a team that's, you know, when SEC plays averaging over 40 points, you know, per game, you know, playing a quarterback who was a walk-on really at UGA, doing a great job right now. But yes, and it's not a team, at least on paper so far, with a lot of weaknesses. You know, I still have some questions on what could happen if a team is able to pass block and hit some quick passes, that kind of thing, kind of maybe put the secondary to some of the linebackers on the heels a little bit. But so far, Georgia has answered all the questions and turned away all the challenges it has come that team's way.
Well, let's talk defense first. I mean, you said it. This team, or this defense, is just absolutely suffocating. They're second nationally in total defense, first in scoring, second against the run, and sixth against the pass. Defensive tackle Jordan Davis should go in the first round of this year's draft. Could be a top 15 pick, depending on maybe how his workouts go. Linebacker N'Kobe Dean has been tremendous for this team. Talk to me about this defense and why they've been so dominant. Dominant, rather.
Yeah, man, I kind of where to start on that. It's Jordan Davis. I mean, he's no doubt, I think, in my mind anyway, been the best nose tackle in the league. Guy's 6'6", 340 pounds, and can run. That's just has made him, I mean, I know it's a number of NFL teams right now wish he was a nose tackle, you know, right now. But you look at that front seven again, when the draft comes around, you know, this upcoming April, it wouldn't surprise me to see at least six of those guys going to top three rounds. I know Jordan Davis gets a ton of attention, and rightfully so, but you look at the job that Devontae White has done at tackle, and sophomore Jalen Carter, maybe the best of the bunch. I mean, he's a guy who's 6'4", 310, just plays with a mean streak. And we saw a play last week against Tennessee where he just one-handed a Tennessee running back and just threw him to the side to go after the quarterback. He just plays with a nasty disposition. And him along with Jordan and Devontae are really the focal points, the linchpins of this D. But then again, you've got N'Kobe Dean, Channing Tindall, who had three sacks last week, is probably the quickest of the linebackers. Quay Walker is a veteran linebacker. He's been with the team about, 4 years. He knows how to make a lot of big plays. Trayvon Walker, defensive end, he's another guy, 6'5", 270 pounds. And it's just, his own teammates describe him as being a freak there at the end. And then you've got a guy like Nolan Smith, who is the vocal leader of this team, makes a ton of big plays, an outside linebacker. So it's a team with a lot of talent, you know, a lot of depth. Secondary, you know, maybe the depth is not quite what Kirby Smart would like. But then again, you've got some great talent. Lewis Singer at safety, Christopher Smith, you know, Clemson transfer, Darian Kendrick has come in and done a great job. And they've got redshirt freshman Kelly Ringo on the other side. Another former five-star, one of the best athletes on the team. So it's definitely been a total team effort on the defense. A lot of great players in Kirk Smart and Dan Lane, defensive coordinator, have been working, you know, pretty good as a unit right now.
Mike Carruthers shares little pieces of intel and interviews you can use to improve your life on the Something You Should Know podcast.
The next time you're looking for a job and have to write a cover letter, here's some advice from Skip Freeman, author of a book called Headhunter's Hiring Secrets. Add a P.S. to the bottom of that cover letter. That can actually increase the chances of that letter being read by up to 75%. Some people actually glance down and read the P.S. first.
Something You Should Know. Search on YouTube or wherever you listen.
Now.
Anthony Dasher, the managing editor of UGASports.com, part of the Rivals.com network, is our guest here on Sports Morning. Matt Meyer in for Craig Humphreys on 98.1 FM, WWLS, a sports animal. Moving over to the other side of the ball, you know, the Dogs have had to play two quarterbacks this season. JT Daniels started the year, but he's dealt with injuries to his oblique and his lat muscle. So Stetson Bennett, who you referenced, has played pretty well since taking over for Daniels. He's completed 65% of his passes. He's thrown for over 1,600 yards, 15 touchdowns, and perhaps most importantly, only thrown four interceptions. It was exclusively Bennett against the Vols last Saturday. What's the latest on Daniels' injury status, and what's the MO at quarterback for this team? If obviously, if Daniels is not healthy, they feel good about Bennett. Once he gets fully healthy, do you expect to see him back out there, or are they content riding with Bennett, who's done such a good job in Daniels' absence?
I think they're content on riding with Stetson right now. And JT is completely healthy. He has been now for a couple of weeks. And like you mentioned, he did not get in the game, you know, last week, which surprised me. I fully expected him to, you know, get a few series, especially after playing, you know, the week before coming in for Stetson. But what Stetson brings Georgia that JT does not, and I think it's something that Tom Monken really wants his quarterback to be able to do, and that is have some mobility, to be able to move around. I mean, Stetson has rushed for over 250 yards, and the kind of offense that Tom Monken wants, that quarterback needs to be able to do that, not just move in the pocket, but make plays with his legs. And Stetson, the team has his back. I mean, he's a guy that they have rallied around. I mentioned before, he's a former walk-on. I mean, back in 2017, when Jordan was getting ready to play Oklahoma in the Rose Bowl, Stetson was the quarterback who Jordan would use on the scout to try to emulate, you know, Baker Mayfield and what Baker, you know, brought to the table. But Stetson, again, he's done everything he's been asked to do. The offense is clicking with him right now, and barring anything, you know, happening to him, I fully expect him to be the quarterback moving forward.
So what's the biggest key for Georgia coming down the stretch here? Nobody, I think, really expects them to be challenged the next 2 weeks, even against a Georgia Tech team. I know they're an ACC team, but they've got a losing record. I mean, Georgia is going to be 12-0 going into the SEC championship game, and most of us think it's going to be Alabama there unless they trip up a couple of times. What do you think the biggest key is for this team? As dominant as this defense has been and as efficient as the offense has been, what do you think is the most important thing for Georgia if they're going to be able to finally get over the hump? We saw them get past Oklahoma 4 years ago in the Rose Bowl, and then we know what happened in the national title game in Atlanta, of all places, when Tua Tagovailoa came out as a freshman and led Alabama back from behind to beat Georgia in overtime. So what is the biggest thing that Georgia needs to do to finally get over the hump and win the whole thing?
Well, it starts with these next two games, and just stay healthy. And Georgia has had its share of some big-time injuries this year. And they lost a starting left guard, Tate Rowledge, early in the year. George Pickens has not played yet this year due to a torn ACL, and he's expected back, you know, perhaps for the SEC title game, which would be a tremendous boost to this offense. But they've got a bunch of other guys who are dinged up, and Jamari Sally, the left tackle, did not play last week. He's got a foot injury. They've got a number of other guys too, who just need to heal up a little bit. And I think in perfect world for Kirby Smart, that's what he's going to be able to do this week and have his team as close to 100% as possible, you know, going into the SEC title game again, probably, like you said, Alabama. And that's ultimately the hump, too, that Georgia has to get over. Georgia, you know, has played Alabama tough a couple of times over the past four or five seasons, but have not gotten over the beast that is the Crimson Tide, and that is the number one thing, I think, on everybody's mind at Georgia, and getting past that. If they do that, then I think Georgia will probably feel pretty good about where it sits as far as a potential national championship. But beating Alabama, that's job one.
Well, we know Georgia will be there. I hope it's Alabama, just from the standpoint that I want to see that clash of titans coming up in a couple of weekends from now in the SEC championship game in Atlanta. Hey, Anthony, thanks so much for the visit. Enjoy the weekend. Well, hopefully we'll get a chance to visit again, okay?
Hey, we'll do it. Thank you.
Thank you. That's Anthony Dasher, the managing editor of UGASports.com and Rivals.com. Yeah, it's going to be a scrimmage this weekend with Charleston Southern. There's no doubt about that. And then the Bulldogs have a rivalry game at Georgia Tech. Again, I really don't expect that to be much of a contest. I know that Georgia Tech at times has been able to jump up and bite the dog, so to speak, over the last few years. But I don't see it this year. I just think Georgia's defense is just absolute. I mean, last week they gave up 17 to Tennessee. That was the most points they gave up all year long against Tennessee. So this is a defense that is – they are tough to handle. And they've got talent everywhere, starting with Davis up front. You know, the linebacker – Dean is a tremendous player. Both those guys, Dean could catch the first round. Davis, I think, will be in the first round, barring an injury or some you know bad workout or whatever. So Georgia's a load to handle. You try scoring on them because not many people are.
When you have sports mixed with your pop culture, along with humor and celebrity interviews, your earbuds are enjoying the Rich Eisen Show.
Kevin Millar, we're all paying rent in Ohtani's world, right?
And the Dodgers world. Game is healthy. Game is good. And, you know, I get asked a lot, is that good for baseball? Yeah, it's good for baseball. This is definitely the team to beat because that should be your next correction, Richie, is that... Is this World Series a bust for the Dodgers and Dave Roberts?
Hell yeah.
Search for the Rich Eisen Show on YouTube or wherever you listen.